Show.
That's my open?
That's what they used to call me, Swivel Hit Bradford.
That's my open. I'm waiting for you to justify your stupid opinion.
Bradford Show.
That's delicious.
All right, everyone's been waiting for this one. The world was abuzz by the Matt Barnes Bradford Show appearance in spring training for multiple reasons. And now, how many months later? What did we do then? February or March?
Probably March.
March. Yeah, it was March. That's right. It was about mid-March. And
April, May, June, yeah. July. 5 months?
Let's get out the abacus. 5 months later, we said we'll reconvene in 5 months. And here we are. So, Matt Barnes, relief pitcher for the Boston Red Sox. Matt, thanks for coming on by. You got a free t-shirt.
Thank you. Thank you.
Congratulations.
Appreciate it. Yeah, boom sauce. Boom.
Oh, look at you. Look at you. Yeah, I know you're a Bud Light guy, right?
Budweiser.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Oh, straight up?
Straight up.
Okay.
All right. Yep.
Budweiser.
Yep.
Well, thank you for saying boom sauce. Jump aboard the train.
Absolutely.
It's a locomotive.
Yep.
So, as you know, having appeared on this podcast a couple different times, we usually at the end of the podcast, I give you the opportunity to ask me a question. But I feel like I'm gonna let you do that right out of the gate.
Okay, so we're going to open up.
Yeah, open it up by you asking me a question.
So I think back in spring training, I think I ended our chat with a question asking you, how are you planning on growing your podcast this season? And you came up with an answer. I don't remember what that was, but you had a method to how you wanted to grow it.
I think it was part. Well, go ahead. I'm not going to interrupt you.
And how? It's amazing when the shoe's on the other foot, isn't it? It's great.
It kind of is. Yeah,
it's great. Right?
Do you want your own podcast? You can. You can be like every once a week. You can have. You can take this machine with me.
And do it.
Take Donuts the intern with me. You can do one if you like. Go ahead.
Right. Right.
Go ahead. Continue the question.
And how are we going to measure whether or not you achieved what you set out to?
Mm-hmm.
So my question for you is, has it grown? And where are you going to continue to grow it?
That's a very good question.
Thank you.
You have a future in this business. So when we talk, I think my answer was to do like videos, maybe.
Yep. Okay.
What do you see now? The starving college kid, Donuts, basically building his resume by filming us right now.
I have a question for him.
Donuts?
Yeah.
Donuts can get over here.
Are you a Dunkin' Donuts? Are you a Blackbird? Are you a Krispy Kreme?
Dunkin' all the
You're
way.
You're a Dunkin' Donuts guy.
You're a Cumberland Farms Donuts guy.
Cumbies?
I'm not sure if I've ever had donuts other than Dunkin' Donuts, to be honest with you.
Cumberland Farms. We love Cumberland Farms.
Are you from the Northeast?
Yeah, I'm from Mass.
And you've never been to a Cumberland Farms?
Oh, I have. I just haven't had their donuts. No.
What an electric personality he has, doesn't he?
I know.
What's going on, Donuts? Donuts, we'll come back. We'll come back a little bit, all right? And we'll reconvene and you can ask Matt Barnes a question. So, Matt, I said he was introing the podcast we did with Jackie.
Yep.
And I said, okay, we did this podcast with Jackie. Here's what's on it. What would you have asked? And he's like, we don't know, you're going the other way at a prolific rate. I'm like, oh, my God, are you kidding me? Anyway, to answer your question,
yep.
I think I said videos, and that's clearly that has...
that's coming into play.
Was, in fairness, because of full transparency, I took a big dip in the production of this podcast pretty much after doing it with you.
Okay.
I went like a couple months without doing it. Because life caught up to me a little bit.
Okay.
And I just had to put it on hold. But then I think in June, we got it going again. We had awesome podcasts. I mean, we had a run. Right, Donuts? Wasn't that run prolific? The run when we kicked it back up? Well, come on. You just nod your head. Yes. Anyway, so to answer your question, the other day, as I was trying to get you to understand this, I did one on a rickshaw or a pedicab or an ass taxi, whatever you want to call it. The bikes with the things on the back.
Right.
And I did one of those.
They call those ass taxis?
That's what the driver told me.
It's interesting.
I mean, I go with whatever the driver. But I felt like that was a historic moment for podcasting. That was this type of thing. We'll take it next level.
A podcast on the go.
Yes. Like Comedians in Cars. Yep. You ever see that?
Like who?
Comedians in Cars.
Yeah, doesn't...
Seinfeld.
Yeah,
but... Eddie Murphy.
No, I'm talking about Late Night Show.
Oh, James Corden.
Yeah, he does...
The ripoff, yes.
The singing in the car.
Yes.
It's hysterical.
Yes, well, this would have been hysterical, too, if you just got on the ass taxi. But instead, we had somebody else do it, and it was excellent. It was taking podcasts to another level. This guy, Kerosene Ken.
Okay, I don't know who that.
Yeah,
is.
You know, it's okay.
Okay,
it's all right. He's one of the guys at the station. Master of hot takes. He's very entertaining. It was a very entertaining podcast. And I'm going to do one this coming week with Alex Speer because he has a book coming out.
Yep.
To push the book.
Okay.
So anyway, that is a thing that took it next level. I also feel like I've engaged people when I'm not doing the podcast. For instance, when I took the Slinky up in Minnesota.
Right.
And did a science experiment in terms of can a Slinky go down the stairs in Minnesota. Remember that?
I heard something about that. I didn't...
You didn't witness? I saw a group of relievers looking at me like, what an asshole that guy is up in the...
And I'm sure the Slinky made it all the way down.
It did not.
Really?
Well, you know how steep those bleachers are in Minnesota.
Yeah, but wouldn't that help?
No, I know, but I'm asking you the question. You know how steep those bleachers are.
Yes,
they're probably the steepest bleachers in the league.
Some of. Yes.
Okay. So
I would agree with that.
Because I like science and I want to get to the bottom of it, I said, that is the only set of bleachers that would allow a Slinky to go down it. But the problem is the stairs were too big. Have you ever done a Slinky before?
Yes.
Yeah. You know what I'm talking about. It was an issue.
Okay.
But you never know unless you try. You never know if you're going to strike the guy out unless you throw the pitch.
That's true.
Yeah.
That's true.
So so that's what I'm trying. I'm trying to take it next level. I'm giving away T-shirts. I'm doing videos. I'm doing Slinkies. What else should I do, Matt?
I don't know. I'll have to come up with a game plan and we'll get...
Well, do you listen to podcasts?
Not really.
Okay.
But then again, I don't...
Do you listen to anything?
Music.
Do you watch anything?
Yeah, I watch TV, but I don't really...
How do you like, when you hear about something, maybe not necessarily like a news-related item, but how do you consume things? Like, how do you...
Social media. Anything news-related, I get from Twitter.
From Twitter.
That's like, pretty much the only reason I have Twitter, is so that I know what's going on in the world.
Right. And so, but you see it, and you might see a 30-second clip of something.
Yeah, or then I become interested in something, or something happens, then you can go and you can search it, and then I can get all the information.
Do you think that, because we have this debate amongst reporters, like how players consume things.
Right.
Like it's not like picking up the paper anymore and like, I'm going to read to the eighth paragraph. Is it A, Twitter?
Yep.
Is it B, the questions that are asked of you? And you know what I'm saying?
Like when you ask me a question?
Yeah, so if I come up and I ask you and I say, hey, you've got a few minutes... And then I ask you some questions, and then you're like, oh, those questions are going to be for this story. That's how, like, you know about the story, right? Or know about the line of questioning. I get a feel. Or see your relative or friend tell you about a story.
It's probably A, then C, then B.
B.
B is last.
B, okay.
Because typically when you're going to ask me, like, we'll take you for an example.
Yeah.
If you're going to ask me questions on something, I probably already have an idea of what you're going to ask me.
Okay.
Because I already know the end game. I know what you want to accomplish.
You do?
Yeah.
So when I...
For the most part, or anytime a reporter asks me, or a journalist asks me, I've got an idea of what they're going to ask.
And then they ask something, and even though he's like, this is where it's going to end up. This is where this line of questioning is going to end up.
Yes.
Okay. Even though it doesn't start that way.
Right. I mean, you just... they're all baseball questions.
Yeah.
More times than not, they're all baseball questions.
Right. And okay.
You just watch what's going on, and then...
Sure. All right. That's fair. But you know what I'm saying? Those are three legitimate avenues.
It's probably Twitter, family, friends, or guys in the clubhouse.
How about TV? I feel like a lot on like you guys are sitting around the clubhouse. You watch the pregame show?
Yeah, it's a lot of baseball in there, so it's not world related.
MLB Network.
Yeah.
You watch the pregame show? Nesson pregame
show? Not really.
Show?
I'm usually getting ready by then.
What are you doing?
Showering and eating.
Oh, I mean, while you're eating, can't you watch TV?
Well, I guess if it's on, but sometimes I'm not paying attention or...
Okay. Well, anyway. All right. Well, that was a good question. Thank you. Good work.
Thank you.
Are you having fun? Is this a fun season for you? It's not as fun as last season because...
Yeah, but last year was a dream season.
Yeah.
I mean...
Yeah, but... is it...
This year, it's been up and down. You know, there's been struggles and then there's been successes. I mean, it's been more in line with what a baseball season really encompasses over 162 games.
Because you obviously have had other seasons other than last year, which was your dream season.
Correct. Yeah, this is probably one of the harder full seasons that I've been a part of, I would say.
Why is that?
Because
expectations?
Yeah, I mean, there's definitely expectations to do what we did last year. But there's also expectations of making the playoffs, of being successful, of personally having a good year. There's definitely a lot of stuff going on. But anything in life has ups and downs. You know, it's kind of about how do you deal with it and how do you respond.
I saw your Nesson thing, or I saw a commercial for your Nesson thing. Your dad, you had a saying from your dad. And it was...
The harder you work, the luckier you are.
Thank you. There you go.
Yep.
The harder you work, the luckier you are.
Yep.
But, you know, you obviously have worked really, really hard this year. And you obviously, like, luck isn't always on your side.
Correct.
So sometimes that is not always ring true. It's a nice thing to hang your hat on. It's much like when I say, you know what the definition of toughness is? Definition of toughness is the ability to do something with as much passion as something you don't want to do.
Right.
Something along those lines.
Yep, that makes sense.
And but that's not only, I guess, right. I mean, so this must have been a challenging time to live up to that. Because, like, you do everything you can.
Right.
You know what the expectations are. You know what your role is.
Right.
And then sometimes it goes up and sometimes it goes down.
I mean, the hardest part for me about this game is that, and I don't know that this happens in any other sport, is that you can do everything right, you can be totally prepared, execute everything that you want to, and you can still fail, which is a really hard thing to grasp. How do I do everything exactly how I want to? I execute exactly where I want to. I'm making great pitches, but at the end of the day, it might not get the job done, and that's just the game of baseball, which is a hard concept to grasp, and probably the most frustrating part of this game.
Has that been more evident this year than any other year?
Yes, absolutely.
Because you've had, you know, you had the success, you have the stuff, you've evolved into the pitcher that you want to be.
Right.
And then you're like, I have it, I'm not speaking for you.
No.
I have it figured out, right? And then boom, I hit here, hit there, I don't have it figured out.
Yeah, I mean, that's the hardest part is I feel like my stuff this year has been great. I feel like I've, for the most part, executed when I want to and where I want to. And sometimes it doesn't work out. And sometimes, you know, some guy hits a laser right at somebody, it's an out, and sometimes a guy executes, or you execute a perfect pitch and a guy bloops it into right field, and you're like, well, what am I supposed to do? I did everything I could.
Well, so last year, so when we talked on the podcast before, you talked about, like, them giving you the piece of paper, and here you are. You know, these are look at the high leverage situations you were in
right
last year, right? So, and that was the plan. Like, you are going to be brought in when the middle of the order comes around. And I heard Alex talk about this the other day. He said, you know, well, about that plan, it was the game against Houston, he mentioned, Correa. You had to face, like, Correa twice in a row or something,
uh-huh.
Right? Two straight times. Where it seems like a good idea because you've done it so many times. You did it all last year, but then to constantly having to do it, like, and be that is your thing instead of, you know, oh, Kimbrel will get it once in a while. And I know it's evolved, you know, Brandon's been doing a lot more. But when you look back at, like, why it worked so well last year and the different feeling of it this year, was there one? Just because maybe it was just identified, that's what you're doing instead of just doing it?
I mean, maybe. I don't know. And when you match up to face a certain part of the order, regardless of the inning that you're in, and, you know, select two or three innings, you're always facing those guys. Where if you're the seventh or you're the eighth inning guy.
Right, and that's what you were doing.
Then you just kind of face whoever comes up, and if it happens to be them. You know, there's – running a bullpen, there's no rhyme or reason, right? I mean, it's you want to put your guys in the best position possible to succeed and put the team in the best possible position to succeed. I think the game plan that we had going into it was a good one. It was matching up based on who they thought had the best chance of succeeding against those guys.
And that was a feather in your cap that you were identified as the guy to do that.
Yeah, absolutely. And AC and Dana and CB have done a great job. I mean they really have. The communication level has been great. Kind of having the idea of what we're going to do, who we're going to face, where we're going to pitch. And like I said, sometimes it doesn't work out.
Well, no, I know. But my thing is that this was something we can take the piece of paper and we can see what you did last year. But it's exhausting. Like, this is me talking. It's not you talking. It seems like an exhausting experience to do this. Because no closer has had to do sort of what you were going to be asked to do. And I'm not asking you to say, oh, it was a terrible plan, whatever. I'm just saying this was new. This is new, and I think that, like Alex would admit, like this was a work in progress and had to evolve a little bit. And so it comes back to my question: Why did it feel different at all than a year ago when you were doing almost sort of the exact same thing? Was it just because you knew Kimbrel at the ninth?
Yeah, I mean that's part of it, probably. Anytime you know that you have a guy like Craig in the ninth inning, I mean. Everybody's life is a lot easier, right? I mean, you've got probably the best closer over the last eight seasons coming in the ninth inning to lock it down. I don't know. It just maybe that's it. I don't know. And the way that the bullpens have evolved, the use of the bullpen has evolved over the last four or five seasons. We're evolving with it. I mean, that's
the takeaway.
Right? We're evolving with it. It's the game of baseball in the way that it's played is definitely evolving and changing, and we're kind of riding with it.
Yeah, I mean this season has been an example of that, right? I mean, you've lived it. I don't have to tell you. You've had a good year,
right.
But it's bizarre. We're all trying to figure this out, and I think the entirety of baseball is trying to figure it out.
Right.
And so that's why I asked. Like, didn't feel any different because. Sometimes you say, oh, well, we did it last year and then this way, and then it's going to translate and, whatever.
Right.
So, anyway, but you as a pitcher you compare yourself to, like, a couple years ago, how you pitch, and I remember asking you this about why you're throwing so many curveballs, and you said because everyone hits fastballs, correct?
Yeah.
He's right. You're right.
Yeah.
Go look it up.
Everybody hits fastballs.
Facts.
Everybody hits fastballs. I mean, it's the nature of the game. I feel like we're in a game right now where you're playing for strikeouts or homers.
Yes.
I mean, that's the game.
Yeah.
10 years ago, you go out and a guy hits 240 with 20 homers, 25 homers. It was like, well, he hit 240. It wasn't about how he hit 25 homers. Now nobody cares if you hit 240, if you hit 25
homers.
So how does that
impact the way you pitch? Like a guy swinging from their ass.
I mean, there's no 2-0 fastballs I'm going to get over, because if you try to throw a 2-0 fastball, get me over. Even an 0-0 fastball.
Yeah.
Even a 3-0 fastball. I'm going to get a strike. I mean, there's a good chance you're asking for a new ball.
And those balls will be warped. I saw something the other day that said you have gotten more chases out of the zone like almost anybody, and that you've been able to pitch on the edge of the zone almost as anybody. Did you realize that?
No. But, I mean, that's what we're trying to do. You have to make stuff look like a strike and then not be a strike.
Which is the epitome of a curveball.
Which is incredibly hard to do.
Yeah.
You go in and you face... Let's just hit the Yankees, for example, because they have a really good lineup, right? You go in and you face the Yankees or the Twins or the Astros or... the Dodgers, however many teams that have great lineups, right? There used to be a little bit of a lull in the seven, eight, nine slots, or your leadoff guy wasn't hitting 25 homers a year, right? Where you knew that you could attack a guy and probably worst case scenario for you, he's going to hit a double, right? Mm-hmm. And every now and again, they're going to get you for the homers. But, I mean, you look at a Yankees lineup where or the Astros on whoever, everybody I just mentioned, where their 7-8 hitters got 25 homers.
Yes.
So there's no such thing as a get-me-over breaking ball. There's no such thing as a get-ahead fastball anymore. Everything that you throw has to be almost 100%, or it's got to be a kill pitch. Because you can't risk throwing something, not lazy in the zone, but a quality pitch in the zone, and you know?
Is that more so than last year, you feel?
Yes.
Really?
Yeah.
I mean, that's 1 year. We're talking about 1 year.
I mean, look
one
at
year
the,
difference.
Look at how we're on pace to smash the home run record.
Yes.
Absolutely smash it. We smashed it last year.
Yes.
And we're on pace to smash it again this year. Look at the difference in AAA. What's the percentage of homers?
Well, because they switched the balls. Yeah.
My point exactly.
Yeah.
My point exactly.
Yeah. Well, we were in the clubhouse yesterday watching that guy who I went and Googled. It was worth a Google, Manuel
Clase,
yeah. And he's throwing 100 mile an hour cutters. And you talk about like, oh, well, you need to make it look like a strike and it's not a strike.
I mean,
well, not everyone has 100 mile an hour cutters.
Right. Or 100 mile an hour sinker. I mean, it just, you know, I mean, the game is tough. And I find myself in this constant, I feel like everybody's hitting home runs. And then I watch pitchers throw and I'm like, well, God, everybody throws 100 now and they've got nasty stuff. And it's like, I don't know, man. I think we're at a point in the game where, I don't think we've ever seen anything like this. Even through a steroid era. I don't think we... I mean, you saw home runs at a clip like that, but not like this.
Right. So how does it turn?
That's above my pay grade.
Well, I mean, this is... As this puts it on the pitching coaches, this puts it on the pitchers, this puts it on... Like, you guys, more than ever, you talk about evolving. You're talking about how doing adjust. And we said it's changed a lot since last year. I mean, you must be showing up every day. So, okay, you know, if you give up a home run, you get a couple outs and you give up a home run and turns your whole outing, you must come in here the next day
like
what the, you know, whatever.
Yeah, like the home run I gave up the other night against the Royals.
Yes.
Bubba Starling. I got a 1-0 fastball that I missed my location without a doubt, but it was still 96 and a ball off inside.
Yeah.
And it's a homer, and you're just like, damn. It's a different game now. It is. It's a game where even we're talking about this, being a two-pitch pitcher in this league right now is incredibly hard. Unless you've got something that is so far and above everything else. Like if you've got a 100-mile-an-hour cutter or Hicks is throwing 102 sinkers.
Right.
Or Hader's throwing 99 from right field. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Unless you've got something crazy like that, this is a hard game to be a two-pitch pitcher right now.
You've thrown your curveball probably like within top 4% of the most curveballs around. And so, like you said, to be a two-pitch pitcher where you're like, you have a really good fastball, you have a really good curveball. But did you ever get the sense of when you threw in the curveball that much that, you know, like everything we're evolving in the year, that they said, okay, he's throwing his curveball like 55% of the time. Did you ever, and then now I have to go back to throwing my fastball all the time?
Yeah, I mean, it's a constant battle of trying to figure out when do I maybe switch a little bit. Maybe when do I start attack with heaters?
Yeah.
And then drop a curveball, or maybe you continue to pound heaters because it looks like they're sitting on curveballs. I mean, that's.
But the thing is, my guess is that if it would be harder for them to hit a if you're sitting on a pitch, it'd be harder to hit a good curveball than a good fastball.
Yes,
that would be accurate.
Yes.
All right, there you go.
Yeah, absolutely.
So I feel like, you know, that's probably not a bad way to go.
No,
it's a unique pitch too. Like, let's be honest, it's a unique pitch. It's, you know, I've talked to Brian Bannister about how sort of that big curveball has gone away a lot of times because the launch angle,
right?
And you're seeing more of the sort of the
lateral
Marcus
sweeping,
Walden. yeah,
a sweeping,
exactly. So it is a unique pitch, but the difference, like with you or Workman, is that it's an elite pitch. So it doesn't, you know, you play to your strength.
Yeah, I'm still gonna throw it.
Right.
I mean, I'm gonna throw it. I'm gonna throw it when I want, whenever I want, where I want. I mean, that's just, I have to.
Right.
You know, that's my stuff, and here it is.
Do you feel good heading into the last couple months?
Yeah.
You feel spry?
Yes.
Yeah. Like, did you go through a lull? Did you go through like, oh man, I'm tired?
No.
No.
No, not really. I mean, you have more workloads in certain months than other months. But it all kind of ends up evening out at the end of the season.
This is nut crunching time.
Right. You got to go. We've got, you know, 5 or 6 games that we need to make up, and, you know, it is what it is. We're in this position, and you got to be ready.
What was your guys' take on the trade deadline?
What about it?
So everyone was like, you know, because this was the conversation for us for 3 weeks. Are they going to make a move? Are they going to do something in the bullpen? The bullpen obviously gets pointed to first and foremost, you know. And I would imagine, much like when you went on the radio with me one time, I think it was last year, we have the best bullpen in the major leagues. You kind of got to feel that way. And I don't know if you guys were saying in to say, hey, listen, we're good, no matter what. Was that the feeling?
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, you look down there, and we've got some younger guys who don't have a lot of time in the big leagues, but what they've done so far this year has been incredible. You know, Workman is having a breakout year, and he's been absolutely phenomenal. He's been the best reliever in our bullpen all year long. Mm-hmm. I mean, he's been an absolute stud. You look at Walden, and Walden's got almost 60 innings, probably, something like that. Mm-hmm. And he's been throwing the ball incredible all year long. Then you bring up Donaldson and JT, and you got two lefties throwing 96 with sliders that mm-hmm. are nasty. Getting Evo down there, now you added another arm throwing 100 mm-hmm. with 2 or 3 other plus pitches. We've got our length guys who last year I don't think got enough credit for how much that they did for our bullpen, and BJ and Velasquez. I mean, they were awesome.
No, they were called the MVP. Like, I mean, 50,000
were they?
Yeah, like by Cora, but yeah.
I mean,
no,
they were incredible last year.
Yeah, I mean, and the key is like I think you guys were able to lock in on, like, you're finally able to lock in on sort of what you guys are.
Right.
And that was the problem. Even, like I mentioned last trade deadline, where Dombrowski got up there and he said, we have, because they didn't make a move last year either, we have Thornburg. Thornburg was one of the ones, because he had gone on 5 straight appearances and gave up like 1 hit, and then it takes a turn.
Right.
But we still weren't locked in. But I think by the time you went on a run, you were sort of locked in. So I guess was there a sense of when it came and it went, the deadline, hey, you know what, we can do this? Like,
Absolutely.
Yeah.
I mean, we have 100% confidence in everybody down there in that bullpen. I mean, that's how we feel. And you know, a lot of the guys have gained a ton of experience last year, playing deep into the postseason in the World Series. And we've got the young guys who just have absolutely electric stuff, mm-hmm. Who have gained a ton of confidence over the course of the last couple of months.
Yeah, Darwinson's been pretty good.
I mean, he's punching out 2 an inning ever since he's been up here.
Yes,
or since he was recalled the last time.
That's
pretty
good.
Damn good. you know, when you don't try and focus on the deadline too much. I mean, it's totally out of my control, right?
So you've been in clubhouses, though. I mean, you've been in clubhouses where... You've been in... When did you come up?
14. September of 14.
So you've been in 15, 16, 17, 18, 19. Fifth trade deadline.
Yep.
And there's been ones you make moves, ones you didn't make moves. This was, I think maybe in that time, the one that there was a lot of the sort of gray area, are they going to make a move or they don't. But we talk about, like, does it impact the clubhouse? Like, the Yankees don't make a move and they run off a bunch of wins, right? Is there a vibe of, like, you know, because I'm not a player, you know, is there, hey, you know, it would be nice to make a move? Or we don't need to make it. You know, does it impact the clubhouse at all, or is that like a media thing?
No, it's totally a media thing. We have no control over whether an accusation or acquisition is made, mm-hmm. whether we get a player, we don't get a player. That is solely on from AC to Dave to John to Sam and everybody else in the front office that's involved in this, right? We have to focus on going out and winning ball games, because it's not like we have a 3-day break where there's a trade deadline, right? I mean, right? We don't get to go home and hang out for a few days to see if we get somebody or whatnot. We have to go out and still win ball games.
Right.
So we stay together in the clubhouse, and we have a very close-knit clubhouse. Yeah. We've been playing together
Back together from World Series, dude. That's my thing, is that my guess was that you guys wanted to say that we can do it because we did it last year, right?
Right. We have one of the most talented teams in the world, and I don't think anybody's going to deny that. Mm-hmm. So we stay there. I mean, we stay in the clubhouse. We focus on winning ball games, and if the front office decides that they want to add somebody to make us better, then awesome. And if they don't, fine. We got the people that we need. It's kind of you take that approach.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that makes sense. But you know, we still talk about it. So whatever. I mean, you know.
Yeah.
It's trade. I know. Trade deadline is good for business.
I know.
Speaking of good for business, we can't go through this podcast without you rekindling the conversation about running in from the bullpen.
Okay.
Every time you run in from the bullpen, do you think about our conversation 2 years ago?
Honestly, no.
Yeah, that's fair.
No, when I'm running in from the bullpen, I'm
you're not thinking about.
I'm focusing on how to get those guys out.
I told you, like, Donuts, in case you missed it, we had a great conversation about how everyone runs in from the bullpen differently.
Yeah.
And then this should be, you should do imitations of this. I could do an imitation of you running in the bullpen.
Could you?
Yes.
You should put that on camera.
I will. Like, so, ready? You lunge almost on every step, right?
Because I'm taking long. I got long legs, man.
I know, but you that's what you did. You take advantage of your long strides.
Okay.
You lunge at every step. So
here, let me hold.
All right.
We're gonna post this video together with it. So. We'll count. Doors open. That is so insulting. That's the most insulting run ever. That is the most insulting run ever.
It's
no. No.
It's true.
No.
It's absolutely true.
It does not look like that.
Maybe not exactly like that.
Not even close.
But you take you
look like you were skater hopping to the mound. Side to side.
Maybe I overemphasized it. But it is.
Maybe?
I think I got caught the spirit of the thing.
No, not even close.
Well, okay. So where you take? I'm complimenting you on your run. You take advantage.
That
of
was
your
a compliment
line, like,
of my run.
Yes.
No.
You are getting to the mound in half the amount of steps that it takes everybody else to get there.
Well, thank you for that. But that display. You know what we're gonna do? This is what we're gonna do.
All right.
We're going to take the clip that Donuts just shot.
Yeah, and we'll do it side by side.
And we're going to do it side by side of me actually running in.
So you're going to be in the booth tonight, right?
Yeah.
If he gets in the game.
Me actually running in.
Can we get this?
And then.
Can we tell the Nesson people to zero in on him running?
Yeah.
Yes, all right.
And then.
For the record, it was insulting.
Right?
It was.
That's how bad was that?
The studio audience said it was insulting.
How bad was that?
It looked like it. I'm not
going to
say
that. And then we're
going to have to poop. I don't know.
And then we're going to take a poll.
All right.
You're going to do a poll.
Well, who did it better? I mean, what kind of poll? Like, what is this?
Was your run...
Was it accurate?
Was it accurate or was it insulting?
I didn't mean to insult you. I meant to compliment
you. That
was
terrible.
You
got a funny way of doing that.
So what is the thing? What's the saying? It's the sincerest form of... You know, whatever, flattery, blah, blah, blah. Anyway, so, all right, well.
The effort, I appreciate the effort. The execution was.
So who has a unique jog in from the bullpen now?
Well, everybody then, right?
Right, but who could you, like, off the top of your head, who could you say? Because I don't remember, I can't even think of.
I don't know, man.
I felt like Brewer used to be sprinting in. He ran fast.
Tommy Canley sprints. I don't know how he does it. I would be out of breath.
But do you remember when.
From the bullpen to the ball. And he stops when he gets to the ball and picks it up, and I'm
yeah,
like...
Yeah, that's wasted energy. What I'm trying to tell everybody
is
that
you... the best run in from the bullpen in the league?
Well, Kimbrel.
Is the security guard in Fenway and right in the visitor's pen.
Oh, to bring the stuff in?
To bring the stuff in. Has the best run.
Why? Is it... He books it in. He
sprints. Dead sprint.
So why don't you do that?
Because I need to have energy when I get to the mound.
You know the best part about this is?
What?
Is that when you run in from the bullpen the next time, it's totally going to be in your head.
Nope. Even if it is, I'm not going to admit it. You got to focus on getting these guys out, man.
I know. It's a nice little respite from that. You get to the mound and then you lock in, okay? All right. You spent a lot of time with us. We appreciate Donuts. Come over here. Donuts, if you don't ask a good question, holy mackerel, you are going to be fired from this job you don't get paid for.
Oh boy. All right, Matt. So, growing up in Connecticut.
Yep.
What was your favorite football team?
Favorite football team?
Yeah.
The Giants.
Ah, okay. Do you trust the Gettleman process, and what are your...
Do I trust what?
The Gettleman process.
The Gettleman?
Dave Gettleman.
Oh.
And what are your predictions for the team this year?
Oh, boy.
Do I trust the process?
There he is, a veteran of the Bradfoe Show, Brian Bannister, walking by.
I think... See, it's hard for me to speculate. I don't like speculating on other sports just because I know what it's like being in one.
And in fairness, you didn't know who Gettleman was. So yeah. So knowing what the Gettleman process is might be a challenge.
The GM who signed OBJ and said that they were never trading him, and then they traded him a month later?
Yeah.
That guy? Yeah. I know who he is.
Okay.
I just don't understand what donuts say.
Here's the last question. So you answer, whatever. You don't trust the Gettleman process. So you just said it, okay? Nice try, donuts.
I think the Giants are... I think it's going to be a tough year. I think Coleman going down for the year, Shepard's battling the thumb, Golden Tate's got the four games.
What's his name? What's the quarterback's name now?
Eli Manning.
No.
Daniel Jones.
Five for five.
I think Daniel Jones had a great night last night. I mean, all the Giants quarterbacks did well last night. I think one of them was like 14 for 17. The other one was 12 for 14. Daniel Jones is 5 for 5. Eli played one drive and one for one.
He's a fan. There you go.
I think it's gonna be interesting. I think the wide receiving core it remains to be seen whether I'm not gonna say they're gonna be bad because you don't know. At the end of the day, they're still professional football players, right? I mean, they're all good players, right?
They're all good. Yes,
they're all good. They're in the NFL.
The game of football is a real winner. Yes,
right.
Yes.
They're all good. Whether somebody's going to step up and...
Wiley veteran.
Well, I mean,
Barnes Cullen ripping Gettleman process.
Hey, Dana.
Oh, whether, there he is.
Whether or not... whether or not they're going to step up and it's going to be a good year, who knows? I think a lot of it relies on Eli and the offensive line. They brought in some pieces.
What's
to
their
make
record?
The,
what's the Gettleman process's
what's
record?
What's the record going to be this year?
By the way, that has to be the name of your fantasy team, the Gettleman Process.
That's a good name. Yeah. I always have the same name, though, every year.
What's that?
Themselves.
Why?
Because then if it was like... So back in the day, we used to have a 3-on-3 basketball tournament, and they would always announce, you know, this team versus that team. So imagine this. The announcer comes over and says, and next up, it's Bradfoe versus themselves.
After this podcast, I will tell you a good story, which I choose not to tell on this podcast about something along those lines. So, anyway, falls through the Gettleman process.
I think...
What's the record?
7-9.
All right, 7-9.
7-9, 6-10, 6-10 maybe.
So, the last thing is, so now that you've heard Donuts in action, Donuts is an aspiring something or other. I don't know what he wants to do. What advice, you want to be a play-by-play guy or something, right? Like this electric personality, like who could deny him such a thing?
Right.
What advice would you give him
to be a play-by-play guy?
Yeah, whatever he wants to do. Remember how much you said I sucked at play-by or whatever I did.
It was very monotone when you did it.
You've heard me do in the booth, right?
Yeah.
Am I monotone?
You're his boss, so that's really hard.
I'm his podcast boss. He's the broadcast intern for Joe Castiglione.
I think he was sick that day.
Maybe you were sick, so maybe I caught you in a bad day.
I left it all on the table.
That's all you can ask.
Listen.
That's all you can ask.
What advice would you give him? Be more energetic?
Make it happen. He looks like he's pretty energetic.
He also has a good name.
Donuts.
Donuts. Yeah. God-given name.
Yep.
All right, Matt, thank you.
Yeah, absolutely.
Was it enjoyable for you?
It was fun.
All right, thank you.